Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's so good to see all of you today, and we want to welcome you on this second Sunday after Pentecost. We're glad that you're with us here today as we can gather to worship the Lord and be encouraged in our hearts by singing and worshiping and praying and hearing God's word and find encouragement through that time and strength in our lives. And a little bit later on, in fact, it's not even going to be a little bit later on, it's going to be for a while, we are going to be talking about hope. And hope is a confident expectation rooted in the faithfulness of God. It is an anchor that holds when everything else is shaken. So we're going to be looking at that through a series, and so we hope that you'll be able to be a part of that. I know as we begin summer, vacations start and everything, but you can always tune in and go on the website and listen online. Click on there and listen. So we want to let you know about that, and we want to welcome those that may be listening later on today. So as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together there in the bulletin for our call to worship. Come into God's presence. Come, saints and sinners alike.
We are all God's children.
Wisdom has brought us here. Come, let us worship. Well, we were going to begin by singing that hymn 443, The Solid Rock, On Christ, a Solid Rock I Stand. Aren't you glad today that we have a solid rock that we can stand on in life's storms. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer. Eternal God, as we worship this day, extend to us the wisdom we need revealed in Jesus Christ, so we may walk with strength, courage, and purpose in life's journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And I'm going to invite our kids that would like to come down this morning, if they would make their way. That's all right. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, good, good. Okay, let me ask you a question. So, is there somewhere that you go and play where there might be, we just kind of sang about a big rock, like a rock or something you stand on? Do you have a spot like that? Or maybe when you go camping or when you go to somewhere like a pond or a lake? So when I was growing up, there was a big rock at my grandparents that we stood on, that we would stand on. And it would make us higher. And some of my friends, when they were around or whatever, they would try to push me off that. And we would try to stand on that rock. Now, it was great if the rock was flat. Why was that? Why would it be better if the rock was flat? Brandon, you want to answer it. I know you do. I'm waiting for those words to come. What would it be better to stand on a rock like that's kind of flat, like this and big, or one that's like this and big? What would be easier to stand on? The flat one, why? Because, I mean, think about it. It's easier to stand on this. Would it be easier to stand on this or easier to stand on this? Yeah. It would be easier to stand. Now, I could stand on there if I could get up there. That would be the thing. But I wouldn't have, I mean, my one foot would fit on there real easy, but the other one would probably be half off, which could make it, you know, kind of a thing like that. And I see these kids go through our neighborhood, and they're on those little boards that are flat like that. They just put their 2 feet in there, and then it's got wheels that take it for a ride. You ever seen those? What are those called?
Skateboards.
No, not a skateboard. That's this way. These are like this.
Hoverboard.
Yeah, hoverboard, there's another name for them. But anyways, yeah. So, I don't know how they do that. How do they stay up? I get that because they go flying. This one guy I saw yesterday, he went flying down the sidewalk on that thing. And I was thinking, man, if he would wobble a little, he'd come flying right off that thing. So, we need something strong to stand on. And that, what we stand on, according to scriptures, the teachings of Jesus, in the Old Testament, it tells us that God is like a strong rock that we can stand on, that we can hide behind. We just sang about, on Christ the solid rock I stand. And that comes from that little parable that Jesus told that we as kids used to sing. Does anybody remember what that song is? Miss Carla, what's the name of that song?
Oh, The Rock?
Yes.
The Wise Men Go.
The Wise Men. Yeah, and Jesus taught us that the wise man built his house upon the what? Yes, the rock. Because it's stronger. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Now, if it gets a lot of rain and gets yucky, sometimes sand can get salty and you sink. Yeah. And she's doing all the motions about when the rain came down flood. So in other words, during storms, we can stand and not fall. Because we're standing on Christ. And Jesus wants us to know that He is a solid rock we can stand on in life. And what's the storms? Are we talking about literal storms? Well, it could be. How many of you like thunderstorms? You like thunderstorms? When it goes, boom! See, these two jokes. I probably would too. I walk down the hallway and my wife appears around the door and scares me sometimes. But, do you like thunder? Do you like lightning? Yeah, not always. Kind of scary, isn't it? Now, sometimes we're not talking about literal storms. Sometimes we're just talking about problems that happen in life. Hard times. Things don't go right. Something breaks or whatever it may be. And thankfully, we have somebody we can turn to. Okay. You guys are heading down, I believe. All right.
And as they're heading down, we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with us this morning. Before we go to prayer. Somebody? Yep. Hospitalized with what?
Abdominal pain.
Ooh, okay. Okay, several unspoken. Okay, somebody else? Yep.
A patient for my sister, Chris. She is continuing to have extreme trouble with passing her mom last year. And she just needs a lot of
Yes. It's hard. Especially when one of our parents we were the closest with. You know, it's a lot harder at times like that. So, yep, we can pray for Chris this morning. Somebody else? Yep. Okay. Someone else? Yep.
Loretta.
Okay, what was the last name?
Biggs,
okay.
She was Susan Souders' daughter. One of Susan Souders' daughters.
Okay. So we want to remember the Biggs family then this morning with the loss of that loved one. Somebody else this morning, yeah. Unspoken, okay. Somebody else, yeah.
Three unspoken.
Okay. Somebody else. Oh, sorry, yes. Yes. She was telling us when she came in that Don started having issues this week and was having a hard time with strength in his legs. And he is getting rehab in Vandalia. So we want to keep Don in our prayers this morning. Definitely. Someone else.
Start looking better. And then
Yeah, I have an update on that. Gracie is showing signs of improvement. They no longer think they have to go to a foreign hospital. Thank you for praying. So, yeah, we've already seen, but we want to continue. I was looking up her name, Gracie. Yeah, so we want to continue praying for her there. Someone else. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning?
My sister has another scan on Tuesday, so prayers that everything is maintaining and staying. No new growth or increasing.
Clear, growth. Yeah.
I am going to be looking for a new job, so prayers for something to come my way.
Okay, so we want to remember Jill and also for Jody. And we want to continue praying for Ellie. I'm hoping to get to see her tomorrow. There's a possibility on Tuesday she might get to come home. But I have not heard since it's been about... I didn't go this last week, so it was the week before when I saw her. And she said she knew for 2 weeks for sure she was going to be in rehab. But I'll probably find out tomorrow about that. And we want to remember Smoke and keep the family in your prayers. Smoke's kind of just the report going downhill quickly. So we want to remember him in our prayers. And for Jody, that was mentioned about the job there. And... any others before we pray?
Chase had his work achievement.
Chase is doing well. He's just waiting for the swelling. He can't open his mouth much further than this. And I think he's wanting to eat. But he had his wisdom teeth cut out on Friday morning. But he's doing well. And the prayer chain knew about that because I sent it out that morning. Anybody else this morning? Yep.
I don't know if anybody knows Joe Sampson. He lives there in Fletcher, and he's been in the hospital. He had phlebitis, and he also had a blood clot in that same leg, and it didn't look good. And they ran some tests, and they found out he's a diabetic. So he's got to get his hands full. I think he's been in there for a while.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, was he was the auctioneer, wasn't he? Yeah, that's who I thought you were talking about. Yeah, for Joe. So we want to remember Joe with the blood clots and diabetic and all that. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, lots of different names to remember there this morning. Hopefully, if some of those names come to your mind, you can pray there in just a moment as she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. As we pause today, we thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain last week and some that came through yesterday for our crops and gardens and lawns and everything. And Lord, we are just the wonder, the beauty of it all. And sometimes we face storms
Sometimes we face trials. Sometimes we face troubles and struggles in life that can be overwhelming. But we're thankful that your presence is there with us, that encourages us and strengthens us and keeps us moving forward no matter what we're facing in life. And Lord, there's several that have been mentioned today that are facing struggles right now in their lives, and they need your touch. And so we want to ask for your touch upon each of them today. We lift up Stephen, Lord, today, and Chris, Lord, and this granddaughter or great-granddaughter with the ear infection, and for Craig this morning, and for Lacey, Lord, and Gracie, God, and for Dawn today, and Ellie, Lord, and Smoke, and Jill today, and for Joe. Each of these that just needs your healing touch for strength and faith and your presence to be with them. God, we just pray for each one of them today, lifting up their names before you and asking that you would work in those situations and be with them through that. Lord, we pray for Jody, God, about this job, that you would open up the door that's just right. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, we pray for the Biggs family, Lord, with the loss of this loved one today, God, that you would just give your comfort and grace there to them. And Lord, we lift up these umpteen unspoken needs today that were mentioned, plus maybe others, Lord, that didn't get acknowledged, but maybe during the prayer time, that maybe there were some or many that were lifting up needs in their own lives today. God, we just ask that you would just work in those situations. You would extend your grace and your peace today, God, and that you would move and bring answers as we trust in you and look to you and trust that you will work out all things for good. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we pray for this mom that's going to be having the baby by C-section tomorrow. We ask that you would guide there and bless, Lord. Let there be no complications and that everything will go well. And Lord, we do pray for those on our monthly list, Lord. So many of them that are going through treatments and need your healing touch, need your grace and strength right now. We think about those on there that are serving in our armed forces. We think about all of our men and women that are serving. God, that you'll continue to watch over them and be with them, Lord. And Lord, we do continue to lift up our country and our world today, God. Lord, draw us to you, draw us to Jesus. Help us as your church to follow in your light, O God, in the light of Jesus, that we might then in turn let that light shine through us into our world and make a difference in people's lives. So we thank you for all of this today as we ask it now. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. And I know that the people that are on the receiving end appreciate those prayers for their behalf. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Don't forget, you can drop your change or your dollar bills into the tin pails today for the noisy collection that goes to the Heifer Project. And so as our ushers come, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we give and send forth this offering in wisdom that it may be an instrument of your circle of grace and faith. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Just to let you know, and we're not sure what all is going to happen yet, Carla may be playing the piano for a while. There are other things going wrong on the organ just keep little by little breaking down. We had a couple years ago some work done on it, and we're going to have to decide what we're going to do and the cost and everything with that. So just to give you a little bit, I know some of you always like it when she plays the organ, but I just wanted to let, so don't be mad at Carla and don't come up to her every Sunday and say, play the organ. So, because there's nothing she can do right now. I mean, she can play it, and you might hear some crazy noise once in a while, but I just wanted to give you a little update on that. Well, our scripture reading is coming from James this morning. James chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8, and you can follow along there on the PowerPoint. From James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are scattered outside the land of Israel. Greetings, my brothers and sisters. Think of the various tests you encounter as occasions for joy. After all, you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let this endurance complete its work so that you may be fully mature, complete, and lacking in nothing. But anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought. without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. Whoever asks shouldn't hesitate. They should ask in faith without doubting. Whoever doubts is like the surf of the sea, tossed and turned by the wind. People like that should never imagine they will receive anything from the Lord. They are double-minded, unstable in all their ways. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, during World War II, Uncle Ed, a naval aviator, went into the barbershop to get a shave. And since the manicurist was really beautiful that day, he asked her for a manicure at the same time. He kept looking at her, really taken with her, and finally says, "Hey, how about you go out with me tonight?" She said, "Oh no, sir, I can't. I'm married." And he says, "Well, just tell your husband you're busy tonight. Tell him yourself, because he's the one about to give you a shave." We're going to start a new series, probably go a couple months here, Clinging to Hope. Clinging to Hope. And this morning I want to talk to you about hope in the midst of trials. Hope in the midst of trials. So we live in a world of troubles and trials, don't we? All you have to do is turn on the news. Every week we hear stories and news of conflicts, economic uncertainties, natural disasters, personal tragedies, and unexpected hardships. Some storms in life are public and visible, while others are private and hidden within our hearts. As I had up on the PowerPoint earlier, hope in the midst of all of those things in life, hope is a confident expectation rooted in the faithfulness of God. It is an anchor that holds when everything else is shaking. In fact, you might even say that some of the things that's going on in our world today, in our own country, may be a shaking that is going on. James reminds the Judean Christ followers that were scattered throughout the area of Asia because of the diaspora to look for moments of joy when trials arise. That's a hard one, isn't it? I'm going to tell you what that involves here in a minute. And cling to hope when facing life's trial. So let's look at two overarching truths here this morning. And then in the second one, I'm going to give you something, three things that are very important regarding all of this. First of all, not surprising, is trials are unavoidable. Trials are unavoidable. Everyone runs into disrupting ordeals. And it was funny when I was working on this week, that word disrupting kind of is hidden in the language there in James, as if the trials, the tests, the troubles, the struggles, and stuff like that that we face are disturbing. Like, shouldn't be happening. Like, stay away from me. You probably heard me say, and I know I've said this before, I don't have time to be sick. Because we're always doing something. So and hidden under that is if I get sick, it'll be disturbing to what's going on in my life, everything that I'm trying to get done. But I want you to see this. James doesn't say if trials come. He says whenever we fall into or hit up against these disrupting struggles instead. In other words, we all face them. Just because we're follow Jesus and love God doesn't mean that troubles and trials will stay away from us. You know, like, can't get too close to that person. Problems may unexpectedly disrupt our lives in various ways. And I, you know, sometimes I'll do this, but not always often. But I want to draw your attention to that word in various ways. Because the Greek word that's used there is poikilos. Poikilos. And as Chuck Swindoll in his commentary said, it reminds him of polka dots. Because polka dots come in various sizes and colors and everything. And I thought that, hey, that's great. Because it'll help us to remember that. What are these unexpected disruptions, these troubles, these trials, these tests that come our way? Well, some are irksome and irritating. Others can be deep and dangerous. Some come and go without warning, like pestering flies. Others burrow deep into our lives, like invasive parasites. Some mar our bodies with pain and paralysis. Others weigh on our minds, causing relentless anxiety. Odds are, I would say this morning, we don't have to think long to come up with a list of things that we might be facing in life right now. But here's something I want you to see in the midst of trials being unavoidable. Hope accepts that God uses the troubles we face for our good. That is the underlining premise we must come to. Because if we cannot do that, we will struggle on and on and on and on and on when those kind of things come into our lives. Why? Because hope concedes that problems have benefits. They are part of the struggles of this age. They may be even including in Paul's labor pains that he talks about in Romans 8, that work in our lives to form us into Christ Jesus. And they may be signs that even though outwardly we don't like what we're going through, they may be signs that God is actively shaping our lives on the inside. Yet, how do we keep from allowing those troubles, those trials, those struggles, how do we keep them from sweeping us away? How do we keep them from crushing us when we go through them? Because we can respond in one of two ways. We can either respond and trust God in the midst of it all, or we can become bitter and angry and resentful. So, this brings me to my second point that I want you to see. Trials can yield maturity if... And I put that on there early this morning for a reason. Trials can yield maturity if. If what? If what? Well, we're going to look at these. And these are important right here that we catch a hold of. If we have perspective by regarding trials as occasions for joy. Now, I understand that this is one of the hardest things in the world to do. Why? Well, if you're like me,
joy is not what I typically feel when I'm going through a trial or struggles or whatever you may want to call it. Typically, I feel angry at times, especially if my suffering feels unjust. What did I do to deserve this? Why was this person able to get away with this and what they did to me? God, where are you? Or we might feel despair. Are things ever going to change? Will the pain ever go away? Will these treatments work? Okay, here's something you got to grab a hold of so you can understand what James is saying here. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is not a feeling of laughter, contrary to what we usually think, at least in our minds. But it is a byproduct in Scripture. It's a byproduct of trusting in God. And so to regard our trials, as James says, as occasions for joy is an act of faith. It's an act of faithfulness. And here's the key, where we see through the ordeals, where we see through the struggles, where we see through the troubles, where we see through the trials or testing to its potential outcome. There are about three places in Scripture, probably a whole lot more, where we see people doing this in their lives and we're told about it. One is when God promised Abraham that he was going to be the father of a nation, and he was going to have many descendants as great as the sands along the seashore. That's a lot. But guess what? Sarah couldn't get pregnant. Hello? God, are you lying? I mean, what's going on? Why is this happening? And it caused a whole big problem. And there's a whole other storyline that develops off of that, because she couldn't get pregnant by the names of, hold on a minute here, Ishmael and Hagar. But I'm not going to get into all that. But I want you to hear something. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, we are told that in the midst of that, God considered or regarded God as faithful and powerful enough to enable Sarah to conceive. He acted in faith, saying to himself that God is greater than this problem. And perspective is what I'm talking about there. And there's others. With Joseph, Jesus, who we're told he considered or regarded not being like God, something to give up so he could come down here and give his life. And this is the hardest thing we have to do in the midst of our trial. And it is not easy, and I fail at it most often. Is being able to say and regard these situations as an occasion for joy. And perspective helps see us through. It helps see us through. The second thing is, we persevere knowing trials may be faith tests meant to stretch us. Okay, the word that James used here, tests, that we're going through, or trials, depending on the translation you're reading, is referring to a refining and proving process. A refining and proving process meant to stretch us. To stretch us. How many of you that played sports in school
especially if you played basketball, remember running wind sprints. Wind sprints were horrible. Mr. Anderson, some of you know who that is, Coach Anderson used to run us till we were about sick. Because it was stretching us. And it was uncomfortable. And when we face troubles, we must allow our capacity to endure, to survive, or to bear up under the pressure to expand. In other words, our endurance, our resilience, our determination must grow. Because when trials come, when troubles come, our capacity to endure, to survive, or to bear up under those pressure, under the pressure, we need to expand. And hopefully in the process, we learn to trust rather than control, to persevere rather than to panic, to depend rather than to go off on the deep end. And let me say this, the way James writes this, he says that this is all things that incrementally happen. In other words, our first trial, we pass and like, whew, there we go, I passed, God. I'll never have any trials ever again. I made it, I'm enduring, I have faith. Nope, it's all through life. And they incrementally just keep working in our lives to make us stronger, to stretch us, and make us more determined in the end. Persevere. Persevere. Third, we pray for the wisdom from above. Okay, now I've quoted this verse hundreds of times. But I don't know if I really saw it in its context. I've had people tell me, I've told them, when we're going through a situation, we're not sure which way to turn or which way to do, pray for wisdom. Pray that God will give you wisdom. And James puts it in the context, we need to pray for wisdom when we're going through our trials, when we're going through our struggles. And one of our greatest needs when facing trials is wisdom. And what do we mean by that? This may be a simplification, maybe only one part of wisdom, but is to see things from God's perspective. Because in order for us to have perspective, which I just talked about, and in order for us to persevere, we need wisdom from above. And James keeps it simple. He says we simply ask single-mindedly, not double-mindedly, or in a lot of our translations, doubting. But the word there that's used means double-minded. And the God, listen to me, who is single-mindedly generous will give us what we need. Okay. I read a funny parable this week. Don't throw any stones at me when I tell you this. It's a little parable this week I read by a guy. He was talking about growing into people of God. Of a little bird flying south for winter. But the bird got started late, so the bird got stuck in a snowstorm. The storm was so bad that ice formed on the bird's wings, and the bird couldn't even fly. He went down for a crash landing and couldn't get back up. And he thought, great, now I'm going to freeze to death. But then suddenly, a cow came along. Okay, here we go. And took a dump on the bird. Now, hold on. At first, this little bird thought, man, can things go from bad to worse? But then he realized that the manure had warmed his wings. And he could start to fly again. He got so excited
that he started chirping and singing. But this attracts a cat who comes along and gets him. The moral of the parable is this. Listen, not everyone who drops manure on you is your enemy. Not everyone who digs you out is your friend. And when you're in deep manure, sometimes it's helpful just to keep your little chirper shut and see what God will do. And when I saw that, I thought, oh my Lord. How often do we chirp, chirp, chirp all the way through when we're struggling? Remember, trials are inevitable, yet they can yield maturity, and hope will grow when we have perspective, perseverance, and we pray for wisdom. Perhaps today you are facing a trial that no one else can see. God's message is clear. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't allow your troubles to deter your future. Instead, cling to hope, that confidence that comes from God's faithfulness. Trials are not the end of your story. Amen and amen. Well, let's prepare our hearts this morning for communion. And I just pray that message helped you. Because as I was going through that this week, it was like God was opening up my eyes to all kinds of things that I needed to see for some of the things we've been facing in our lives over the past couple years. And as we prepare our hearts, we're going to join together for prayer this morning. So if you would, I would encourage you to pray with me this morning, and then we'll share at the table. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for being our refuge and strength during every trial. When circumstances overwhelm us, remind us you are present and working for our good. Give us wisdom to trust you with perspective and perseverance. And give us a hope that rests securely in your promises. Meet us at your table. Forgive, cleanse, and strengthen us. Help us cling to hope until the day we see your purposes fully revealed. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I really pray, oh God, answer that prayer for us today, because we all face struggles and trials in life that sometimes can be very overwhelming. And that God would give us perspective and perseverance and wisdom to face them. Receive it today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, as our deacons and deaconesses that are going to be helping us out this morning, if they make their way, we are going to share at the table, which is open for all to receive of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And yes. Okay. Thank you.
On the night in which Jesus was handed over, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Later, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Well, they're going to come around and collect your cups, and you can take a few moments to greet one another this morning and share that blessing, and then we'll go ahead and close out with our chorus there this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go back to that first key there. Are you ready? There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, let's join together there for our benediction. Go forth with God's blessing. Now may the God who is able to keep us from falling present us blameless and rejoicing before his glorious presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
What's happening when you go out?
Did they go out?